Los Angeles friendos, join Going In Raw as we go live on stage with Wrestling With Regrets' Brian Zane September 24th at the Nerdist Showroom in L.A. The link to tickets is in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife.
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw View, where we take a look at old wrestling pay-per-views. And today we've got a humdinger, Larson. ECW.
Extreme Championship
Wrestling.
So we went to the show.
Yeah, we were there, man.
Yeah, and I next to the skirmish involving XPW.
Yeah.
Right at the beginning of the Tommy Dreamer match, I literally remember nothing about the show.
I don't remember anything about it. I vaguely remember just knowing that RVD was there. Like, I remember RVD. I remember him being there. But, you know, this was 17 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I went to WrestleMania 21 in 2005. I barely remember much about that, you know. So I just have crap memory and we're old.
I guess I do, too. I mean, I went to WrestleMania 2000. I don't remember much about that, but I was also really hungover.
Yeah.
So I attribute my lack of memory to being hungover.
Terrible. That'd be terrible. But anyways, yeah, so we were there. That was fun. And I don't remember, man, 2000, like, things were a lot more, people were a lot more loose with their words back then. There was some very cringy moments.
Yes.
In this. But,
yes.
And look, it's not an, people should never have been talking that way in the first place.
Yes, agreed.
I mean, we can have a long, long conversation about, well, it was a different time. You know, I'm not really, I don't really want to have that conversation right here. It is what it is. It's a product of its time and of its creator, who, by the way, wasn't even there. Paul Heyman.
Nope.
It kind of, number one, this was obviously ECW on its last legs.
Yeah. I think they lasted about another year or so after this, maybe two. They were in the midst of a relationship with TNN,
a very contentious relationship
that apparently they were not enjoying because the heel faction of ECW was called the Network.
Right, exactly. Was it led by Don Callis?
Seemed kind of
Cyrus.
Like, kind of like that was the situation.
Yeah, he was, or at least he was the spokesperson. Mm-hmm. I think he was like the liaison for the Network, like
TNN.
That was what he was supposed to do. So yeah, that was referenced multiple times. But it did, watching this, you know, when you watch an ECW show from 94 to 98, let's say, even maybe 99, you get this feeling of excitement of everybody's there and we're this upstart thing and this was definitely like
we got to hold this together by any means necessary.
Exactly. That's what it felt like. And then on top of that, for Heyman not to be there.
I know.
And I don't know. There was a story behind that, like what he was off doing. I'm assuming he was trying to take care of business. Cause like you said, at this point,
wait, was he not even in the arena? Did you read about that? Or was he just not on camera? I know he was on camera.
Dude, if he wasn't on camera, he wasn't there. I can almost guarantee that. I can almost guarantee that. I mean, are you kidding me? It's like your first time in Los Angeles and Paul Heyman's not going to show up.
Yeah. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
Did it feel like ECW in some respects? Yeah, it did, because it was ECW. On the other hand, it kind of didn't, because A, it was in Los Angeles. They had never done that before. B, a lot of these wrestlers I had to look up.
Yeah, I know. The roster was by this point pretty barren of ECW originals.
Right, exactly. I mean, there was no Sabu.
Nope.
No Shane Douglas.
Nope.
No Taz.
It's pretty much RVD, Tommy Dreamer, and Justin Credible.
Yeah.
There's no Dudleys at this point.
Right, yeah.
Oh, no, Sandman was still around.
I mean,
New Jack was still there.
Spike Dudley was there. New Jack was on crutches, which was kind of a metaphor there. I mean, but the Scotty Riggs showed up.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was a bunch of these, like, sort of fill-in-the-blank guys. So it was
it seemed like it was a bunch of wrestlers who they brought in to to kind of fill out the roster.
Yeah.
Plus, you had, as you mentioned, Scotty Riggs going by Scotty Anton, who had, I assume, at that point, been recently released from WCW, mm-hmm. bringing him over to kind of lend some star power, I guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there was just a lot of... Yeah.
So, yeah, let's kick off the show with...
The opening skit thing with Skinny Blue Meanie.
Yeah, he was like weird.
With adult film star Jasmine St. Clair.
He was like... That's why I knew her. Okay. I didn't know if she was like... Forgot if she was an ECW valet. I was like, oh, is she an ECW valet?
She used to be on... I think she was on Howard Stern's
E-show. Okay.
Quite a bit.
Anyways, they were on the beach, and she was wearing literally... the minimum amount you can wear without showing everybody what your genitalia looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, cause like she had on like a little bikini with like the smallest sliver of like white cloth covering up her nurples.
Yeah.
And then, Blue Meanie was doing this weird, like fat shaming gimmick. Cause like he had slimmed down.
Yeah.
And there was like a fit guy on the beach that Blue Meanie like kicked sand on or something and started calling him fat. And then the camera panned over, and there was what was his name?
Sinister Minister.
Sinister Minister. Yeah, but what was his name?
Oh, it's
James Mitchell.
Yeah.
Yeah, James Mitchell.
And Mikey Whipwreck.
And Mikey Whipwreck was like buried on the beach.
Yeah.
Like from his head up, like it was like getting washed in the waves, and he was just laughing. So they were supposed to be like crazy cult people, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was weird.
We were kind of watching ECW's TV at this point.
Were we?
This
was two. What? Wait. When
was 2000? This is July 2000.
Was it July 2000?
So I remember watching their TNN programming off and on.
Yeah,
I didn't watch it every week.
July 16th, 2000. Where did I live?
Not at the house.
Was I in the? I was in the dorm still.
No, you might have been in Hollywood.
No, I moved to Hollywood till. Till 2001.
Oh, okay.
It was November of 2001.
Yeah, I don't know that.
Was Jeff at the house? Big Jim?
No.
Me and him were probably in an apartment.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's what it was.
We were in an apartment on Balboa.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So long ago.
I know. So we can't remember where we lived in July 2000.
It's so weird. Because I bounced around a lot.
Yeah.
I do remember kind of like the Grand Olympic Auditorium. I love those old buildings, man.
Yeah.
I love like there's not a lot of those left, you know, where it's just like an old, it's like, you know, I liken it to probably LA's version of the Sportatorium,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
it's like, it kind of did have that feel. I kind of remember that aspect of it. Just an old building,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Not a lot of frills.
No, none whatsoever.
I kicked off with that beach segment. And then Joel Gertner comes down. We're in the ring now.
Yeah, him and Joey Styles are in the ring.
Yeah. And Gertner is dropping a hell of a promo where he uses some not so subtle terminology. Various.
Not a whole lot of innuendo there.
No, not at all. But it was all very clever at the time, and we were young, so we thought it was awesome. Then Cyrus comes out. Did they refer to him as Cyrus or Don Callis?
His badge said Don Callis quite prominently, but I believe they referred to him as Cyrus too.
Okay. So anyways, Don Callis comes out. The crowd starts chanting, S that D. And man, he let the homophobic slurs fly, man. Woo! Ooh, man. If that happened today, Twitter would be a buzz. Twitter would blow up if anybody tried that in a wrestling promotion today or in any form of pop culture entertainment today. So the less said about that, the better.
Yeah, that was hard to watch.
Him and Gertner go at it because Don Callis, I think, fired Joel Gertner or Gertner quit.
Gertner was doing commentary and then didn't want to do it or something. And so, yeah, that happened. And then they start fighting.
Yeah.
And then Cyrus did commentary for the whole show with Joey Styles. Yeah.
Cyrus wasn't, because from then on, he wasn't really that offensive. Like, they were doing the lecherous stuff with him and Dawn Marie.
Well, I guess some of that was kind of off-putting, but she was really good with comebacks, too.
No, well, that was the thing about that was, I mean, yeah, she was playing like, you know, the dumb, sexy, you know.
But she had some good comebacks.
But she had some good comebacks. There was some witty banter. And you can tell, the thing is, you can tell they were all having a good time with it. And so it's like, it's not like he's being cruel or anything.
Yeah.
He's just like being sort of lecherous with her.
They understand his performance.
Exactly. And so, I don't know. I thought that he was kind of, I thought they were charming. I thought it was charming whenever they would go to them. It was so, it felt like some old school stuff. It felt like George Burns and his wife. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it just felt
like that old school kind of dynamic. And I thought it was kind of funny. But anyways.
And then the show just kind of started with Sal E. Granziano taking on Balls Mahoney. There was no ring announcer saying this match is happening. It just started to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It was short.
I like that. I noticed this. I'm looking at my notes right now. Somebody like threw up a sign that they had written. It said, Los Angeles, home of ECW. Like, wouldn't it have been more appropriate to say Los Angeles welcomes ECW?
Temporary home of ECW.
One time stop.
I know. Today, the home of ECW.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's weird. Sal wins with the belly-to-belly suplex. It was a really short match.
Yeah.
Not much to talk about.
I couldn't
about.
Find out. This is messed up to say this. I'm assuming Big Sal's dead. But I tried looking him up, and I found somebody named Big Val. But, like, look, there's no Wikipedia entry on him here.
Yeah, that's weird.
Big Sal ECW.
Oh, Graziano. Sorry, I added an extra N. Yeah, Sal E. Graziano. It's right here.
Oh, really?
Well, he's part of the FBI.
No, wait. Yeah, he was just part of the FBI, but then try to find him. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
Hmm. Let's see. Let's go to cage match.
Oh, wait a second. Look at this. October 2015. Oh, bite my words. He's alive.
Cool.
September 2015, an interview with, of course, Russell's own in their ads. It's okay. Trying to make money, but a little intrusive. Big Sal interviewed. Yeah, look at that. Oh, wait a second. Yeah.
He was in a movie in 2010 called Hardcore Justice.
Cool. Right on. Okay. I'm going to shut up then. There was another one. I think Big Val. I think he was another guy who had come through ECW and he ended up dying. So that's why I got the two of them confused. And Big Sal is such a big dude.
Yeah, he's huge.
You know, yeah, the mortality rate on that isn't great. But good for him. That's awesome.
Next, we had a promo backstage with Bill Alfonso.
Yeah, they were letting the F-bombs fly, man. They were like, we know we're on pay-per-view. We can say what we want.
Yeah.
RVD is not at his best when he's intense guy. He's best when he's like, hey, man.
Kind of smug.
Smug.
A lot mellow.
Yeah. Guy you'd want to hang out with. This guy, he was like yelling at the camera.
Because he was betrayed by apparently who was supposed to be his former best friend, Scotty Anton.
Yeah, that's weird. Scotty Riggs is supposed to be his best friend.
Yeah, kinda I guess
weird.
So.
Yeah. That's all about. You know, it's also RVD did not shave his body hair.
I noticed that.
He had a lot of body hair.
It was up on his shoulders.
It was
right
on
here.
His shoulder body hair, yeah. So that's how you kind of know they don't care. Because they're probably, at this point, they were probably like, man, Paul's really late on his payments to us.
Because Paul's not even here today. Why should I be here?
Exactly. Then we had like a flashback to ECW TV with Bobby Eaton.
Yeah.
So apparently Bobby Eaton is friends with Danny Doring, Roadkill, and Kid Cash.
Yeah.
And Swinger and Simon and C.W. Anderson attacked Bobby Eaton.
Yeah, during an episode of Hardcore TV.
Right, exactly. So, a couple interesting notes here. Simon Diamond? No, Swinger, the Swinger guy.
Yeah, Johnny Swinger.
Johnny Swinger. Wait, maybe no, I think it was Simon, actually. I think it was Simon. He was one of the guys that was just let go from TNA with Al Snow and Hurricane Helms.
Agents.
His last name is Kenny. Yeah, he was the other agent that was let go. So he's still around, still in the business. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Swinger co-hosts the Raven Effect with Raven, the podcast.
That's cool.
So they're all still. I like when people are doing well because too many times you get on these old shows, you're like, what happened to that guy? Dead. You know, but he's still around. Kid Cash still wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, he does. His gimmick back then was pretty much Kid Rock.
He looked exactly like Kid Rock. He really did. And then it didn't, you know, he
had the
obviously
hat and he had the wore his shirt open like Kid Rock did back then.
And then who the hell is Lou E. Dangerously?
Wasn't that Sign Guy Dudley?
Oh yeah, yeah, you mentioned that. I think that was weird. So Paul Heyman wasn't there, so they just dolled the guy up to look like Paul E. Dangerously.
Yeah.
And they call him Lou E. Dangerously.
Yeah.
So I wonder what that storyline was all about. That's weird.
Sign Guy Dudley.
Okay. Lou E. Dangerously.
It was a 6-man tag match featuring Simon Diamond, Swinger, and C.W. Anderson.
You know what? I'll take this moment to mention this, though. So ECW had its problems. The originals weren't really there anymore. There wasn't a bad match.
No.
There was not a bad match. Most of these matches were really, really entertaining. And, you know, I didn't even notice. I mean, I know they were there. There were plenty. Like Steve Corino, there's plenty of blood, lots of blood being spilled.
Some hardcore spots, yeah.
There were some hardcore spots, but it wasn't like over the top like everybody. I don't remember much about, like, I don't remember sitting there being like, oh, they shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Some of the Sandman Rhino stuff, there was some stuff there that I was like, oh, they probably shouldn't be doing that. But beyond that, there wasn't a lot that really felt like they were being extra hardcore. There was just a lot of really good wrestling on this card.
A lot of entertaining wrestling, yeah.
A lot of entertaining wrestling, yeah.
Kid Cash, Danny Doring, and Roadkill.
Yeah.
Were the other team. I remember Roadkill.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He would do some high-flying stuff.
Him and Danny Doring, yeah, I remember them. Yeah, Roadkill was cool, man. He would get it, yeah, like you said, he'd do some high-flying stuff. It's always crazy to see a giant guy like that, dude.
I know.
Yeah.
Kid Cash picked up the win.
With his moneymaker finisher.
Yeah. It was a J-driller. Pinning Swinger. As you said, entertaining match.
It was an entertaining match. Like, people brought the thing about ECW, I wonder at what point WWE, WWF, whoever, like, whichever it was, would, you know, we talked about this with the Cruiserweight Classic. They come over to 205 Live, and it just feels like they're told to wrestle a certain WWE style, like variations on a WWE style. And I wonder if that ever wasn't the case. Because it feels like an ECW just feels like, go out and do whatever you can do best.
Yeah.
That's how it felt.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what really stood out with ECW is like, everybody just seemed to do what they did best.
Even the undercard in WCW that was that way.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
They weren't trying to shoehorn competitors into a certain style. They're just letting them go out there and wrestle the best they can.
Yeah.
Next, we had a Rhino promo.
Again, using the F-bomb, trying to get demonetized on YouTube as Rhino.
Yeah.
Not, he wasn't eating Cheese Whiz and crackers back then.
No, he wasn't running for public office either.
He was the TV champion.
He was.
And him and Sandman had a pretty hot rivalry going.
Sandman's wife was involved.
She was very involved.
She took a pile driver through a table.
Off an apron through a table.
Yeah.
That was insane.
That was insane. And then Sandman picked her up, and then they both got speared through a table.
Yeah. I mean, it was like New Japan these days, but like with a wife. let's see here. Steve Corino came out with Jack Victory. Jack Victory, wasn't he part of the Tommy...
Hot Stuff International.
Hot Stuff International, yeah. Carino comes out, and you know immediately he's going to bleed in this match.
Yeah.
He was like, you know, it's him and Flair. As far as I'm concerned, in terms of guys who can just like bleed, and it was amazing.
They were showing somewhere else in the show a flashback. I think it was during the Rhino Sandman package, where he comes out to get involved there, and he had his head bandaged up and his hair is red.
Oh, that was great! Yeah,
apparently he just bled all the time.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Steve Corino took on Jerry Lynn,
and
yeah, Corino busted open pretty early in the match. It looked like the spot was a tornado DDT, but they were showing replays. I noticed this. There was a spot before where Carino's on the ground. As soon as he hits, he starts going to his wrist tape, pulls something out, takes a tornado DDT, and as soon as he lays on the concrete, his hands go into his head. It's like the most obvious blade job I've seen.
It's like he comes out there and he just immediately numbs it right here just so he can get a giant gash.
I know, because he was bleeding all over the place. The ring was covered in his blood for the rest of the show.
It was disgusting. And also it was during this, and I know it was probably evident really early on, but it was during this, because they were doing that kind of stuff, that I realized there were no mats on the outside.
Yeah.
There were no mats. That was terrifying. Like Bill Watts was in charge. Let's see here. Oh, there was that great bit where Jerry Lynn writes the word die in blood on his own like stomach. That was rad.
I know.
He's like using Carino's blood as war paint.
Mm-hmm.
Really disgusting.
Yeah, super gross.
Not hygienic.
Not at all.
But really cool looking.
It was. There's a ref bump. Always make note of ref bumps.
Ref bumps are great.
Not only was he bumped, but also Jack Victory was trying to throw powder in the eyes of Jerry Lynn.
Yeah,
Jerry Lynn
right.
evaded it. Instead, it went right into the eyes of the ref. And there was a ref bump.
Yeah.
At one point, Jack Victory hits Jerry Lynn with a cowbell right as the ref comes to. Carino goes for the cover, but Jerry Lynn kicks out.
Yes.
Jerry Lynn eventually won with a cradle pile driver.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a really fun match.
Yeah.
That's probably, I would say, the best match on the card.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that.
It was fast-paced. Jerry Lynn always delivered in the ring.
Yeah.
Good match.
Good match.
Next, we had a Sandman promo. He and his wife were backstage.
This was fantastic. Because he's the number one, what's my rule about promos? It's really difficult to cut a great promo while you're sitting on a couch.
Yeah.
Really difficult to do that. And
Sandman's there without a shirt on.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. Did you ever think the Sandman would have that much definition in his upper body?
No, not really.
Because he always wears a t-shirt. And he's got you know, a prominent beer belly.
Sure, yeah.
And he was sitting there without a shirt. And I was like, wow, he has some muscle definition.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Well, he was a surfer at one time. His wife looked thoroughly. Number one, she was the most wife-looking person I've ever seen. Number two, she looked thoroughly like just dejected. She did not
want... Well, she took a pile driver through a table.
I'm sure it was in character. She did not want to be there. But I also got the hint that maybe she actually didn't want to be there.
Considering what followed, I would understand.
Yeah.
So as Sandman's doing his promo, Rhino creeps around the corner with a kendo stick and then smacks Sandman right in the back of the head with it.
Like, that doesn't that violate some rule about promos? Like, you're sitting there on a couch backstage delivering a promo. I don't think your opponent is allowed to come up from behind and attack.
This is ECW, man. They broke the rules.
All the rules are off. Everything is, everything's out the window.
And so the Rhino tries to put Sandman's wife's head in the toilet.
Yeah, that was awesome. That made me very happy.
That's probably the part that she was not cool with.
I had not thought about that. That's actually a good point. Didn't put two and two together there.
So after that, back to Cyrus and Joey Styles. They bring up Dawn Marie to join them on commentary.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's when all the banter between everybody begins. Out comes New Jack on crutches.
On crutches.
Broken leg.
Very sad.
Has a broken leg, apparently, he said, from diving off something in Milwaukee.
That sounds about right.
And so he's out there starting to cut a promo. The Baldies.
Yeah, I didn't know who these people were.
Came out and attacked him.
Yeah.
Nova, former BWO member.
Remember
Nova.
Him? Yeah, he was wearing the Flash costume.
Yep. And Chris Chetty came out to make the save. That led to a tag match between the Baldies and Nova and Chris Chetty. And I got to tell you, Chris Chetty's pants look super comfy. They look like they're maybe kind of like velvet.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they did.
And they're baggy.
Yeah.
They look really comfortable.
Yeah, those are good. I like those.
There was this one awesome spot where Nova hit one of the Baldies with two pile drivers. This is all in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Pile driver picked them up. Pile driver picked them up. Powerbomb.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
That was great. That should be a creative finisher in 2K18.
Yeah.
That would be mine. But I'd want both pile drivers to be from
the
second rope.
And then the top rope, powerbomb.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That'd be the most involved, time-consuming finisher potentially ever.
Oh, but it'd be devastating.
Yeah.
Beat everybody with it.
Nova and Chetty picked up the win. They stood side by side on the top or the second rope. And simultaneously, one of them did a splash, the other one did a leg drop.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I never seen that before.
No, it was good stuff. Next up, Tommy Dreamer had a promo where
he kept smashing his head into a locker.
He was like whining about being a wrestler or something. It was like, I never got my big payout. Like, you've been working for the wrong guy, Tommy.
Yeah, you know, you can just take a trip up the road to Connecticut and probably get a guaranteed paycheck.
Exactly. It's like,
you won't have to bash your head into a locker a dozen times and leave blood all over the place. You have choices in life, Tommy.
Like, I understand. It's funny, too, because like Tommy aged pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Like, he looked just way older than he did only like 2 years earlier.
I know. At this show, he's probably, what, 32?
Yeah, exactly.
He looked like he was at least 40.
But yeah, like you said, he just keeps on banging his head into a locker. To me, the cost there isn't worth the reward. It's not worth what the effectiveness of his promo.
No.
I could have done without that.
You know, the promo.
Because when he's doing that, I just feel like now he's got a headache.
I know.
Because that can't feel good.
It was a very, when I was watching that, it reminded me a lot of stuff that Mick Foley used to do in ECW.
Yeah.
In terms of the emotional spectrum he would run during the course of his promo, and then involving stuff that involved head trauma.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a couple promos where either he was pulling hair out of his head. He used to do that as Mankind all the time.
Yeah.
Or just hit himself with something.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, it was all to set up his match against Just Incredible in the main event.
Yeah.
What was the stipulation of this match? I know it was just like barbed wires hanging over the ring, but they had a name for it. Stairway to Hell?
Oh, was that what it was?
Something like that.
That makes sense because, yeah, Just Incredible did not want, he didn't want barbed wire.
No, he was a wrestler.
He was a wrestler, a professional wrestler with giant teeth.
Yeah, Stairway to Hell is what it was called.
Okay. My notes start to dissipate at this point.
Yeah, that tends to happen.
Next up, I believe we had the Fatal 4-Way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Guido versus Psychosis.
The International Fatal 4-Way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Psychosis versus Tajiri versus Mikey Whipwreck inserted himself at one point, as did Tony Mamaluke.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But Tony Mamaluke was in the match for very long.
Right.
Tajiri was awesome.
Oh, he was fantastic.
I forget how awesome he was.
Oh, he was great, dude. People loved him for good reason.
He was fantastic.
Psychosis is really good, too.
Yeah.
That was a lot of
fun. He had a top rope leg drop on Mikey Whipwreck. Looked like it hurt.
Although, is this just weird? Did Psychosis and Juventud Guerrero looked exactly like. They looked a lot alike.
No, not really.
You don't think so?
No.
No, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. Now that I think about it, Juventud is a very pretty man. Psychosis is like a normal-looking dude. They both had long hair, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All
right. Yeah, during that top or after that top rope leg drop on Mikey Whipwreck, Guido went in, tossed Psychosis aside, got the pin for himself. Mikey Whipwreck was first eliminated.
Yeah, yeah.
Then Tajiri pinned Psychosis with a German suplex.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful German suplex.
Yeah.
And then it was just down to Guido and Tajiri. A lot of good spots. Brought out a chair.
Yeah.
A lot of really fun stuff.
Yeah.
The finish saw Tajiri use the green mist, hit a brain buster on Guido on top of a chair, picked up the win.
Yeah, it was good stuff. I love the green mist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see.
And here. Then we had the Just Incredible Francine promo.
Oh, yeah. Poor Francine. She had to go from the franchise to Just Incredible. Mm. Just Incredible came out. He came off as one. Number. He's a decent wrestler.
Yeah.
But like, he also came off as one of those guys who like, he overcompensated for like his lack of natural charisma by just being loud and a bit obnoxious. And I think he was one of those guys like Rhino that Paul Heyman would put the belt on because he knew that he probably wasn't going anywhere else.
Yeah.
Didn't have to worry about him showing up in WWF.
Yeah.
Like dumping the belt in a garbage can or anything like that.
Yeah.
Or doing like whatever Mike Awesome did. What did he do?
He signed with WCW while he was still ECW champion. And so Taz had to come from WWE to beat him for the belt.
Yeah, that's so weird.
It is weird.
Yeah.
Next, Sandman versus Rhino for the TV title. You know what I kind of like about this match?
Mm.
The whole story of the match was centered around a piece of guardrail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. It was cool. Good. Yeah.
Did you notice this? Before, when the Sandman was making his way down to the ring, which seemed to take 15 minutes.
Oh, my God. That was forever.
He stood, like right as he came down into camera, he stood, opened a beer, and there's this guy next to him in a Philadelphia Flyer jersey. But do you see what he asked him before he gave him the beer?
Oh, did he ask me if he was 21?
He said, "How old are you?" And the guy said, 23.
I didn't notice that. I just saw that's hilarious. That is hilarious. Oh, that's, hey, good for Sandman.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have thought that he would have, maybe he got in trouble for that before.
Could be.
That could be. That's awesome. That's fantastic.
But this was actually a pretty fun match. They were creative in their use of that guardrail.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
A lot of spots that hurt.
Yeah,
looked like they hurt. At one point, Jack Victory and Steve Corino come to the ring to try to help Rhino.
That's when Steve Corino has his head wrapped up.
Yeah.
There's blood everywhere.
Yeah, I know.
That was great.
Spike Dudley comes out with some sort of leg brace on, either from a blown out knee or a broken leg. I think that's how he broke his leg.
Ugh.
And then he promptly got pile driven through a table to the floor by Rhino.
Yeah, that's good.
I forgot that was Rhino's gimmick at the time. He was just pile driving everybody through tables.
See, then 17 years later, that's like the thing in New Japan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pile drivers through tables or slipping off a table and onto the floor.
Yeah. The finish of the match saw Rhino pile drive Sandman onto the guardrail.
Oh, that was good, yeah.
By the end of the match, the guardrail was like,
it was all bent up and messed up.
It was all curved.
That was great.
They did so many spots with it. But it was interesting. Rather than just dump a bunch of weapons in the ring, they said, all right, we're going to use this one weapon and center the entire match around
creative
ways to hurt someone with a guardrail.
Guardrail.
So Rhino wins, retains the TV title.
Yes.
Next, Scotty Anton. Scotty Riggs.
Riggs.
as I referred to him, the U.S. male, not the American male.
Not the American male, the U.S. male.
He was trying to give everybody the clap. That was his gimmick.
Yeah.
So he would just go around doing this.
And then, of course, that led to like a ton of like Don Marie and Don Callis Cyrus talking about the clap.
Yeah.
And, you know, jokes therein.
Yeah. I kind of remember that angle and how awful it was. But just Anton's clap thing. He seemed to know it was crap, too.
It's like a half joke that they then turn into an entire gimmick.
I know.
It was just weird. I mean, they knew that he was, you know, not going to be there very long.
No. He was there to take on Rob Van Dam, who apparently was at one point his former best friend. maybe back when Rob Van Dam was just getting started in WCW.
That could be. Rob Van Dam did not seem... My thing is this. I think Rob Van Dam, especially by this point, seriously knew that he was worth a couple million dollars year.
Like the promos he was doing back in 97 were still applicable then.
Exactly. Yeah. I can go somewhere else. And wait, what did he say? My name is worth more here and other places or something like that. Anyways, by this point, it was like at a boiling point because he was about to make the jump and just make gobs of money with WWE.
Yeah.
I mean, I would imagine, you know, all those late paychecks he was probably getting from, or not getting from Paul Heyman.
Yeah, starting to frustrate him a little bit.
Yeah, he was like, no, I'm not going to shave my shoulders today, Paul.
I know. No, why? I can't afford the razor.
Because you haven't paid me yet.
This match was kind of okay. Nothing spectacular. I mean, it's always great to see RVD do a 5-star frog splash and then jump across the ring for a Van Terminator.
Oh, yeah, the Van Terminator. And the crowd is so hot for him.
Oh, yeah.
He was massively over. Super over.
It's still
kind
of surprising they never put the world title on him while he was in the original ECW.
Yeah.
I don't know why they ever did that or never did that.
Didn't need to.
Guess not. He was over enough. Didn't need it. He was above the belt.
He made that TV title.
Yeah, he did.
He made that thing.
He had that thing forever.
Mm-hmm.
Not much of a match. I mean, it was a long match. They gave it time, and it was okay, but nothing really noteworthy. Which brought us to our main event, Just Incredible with Francine versus Tommy Dreamer, who came out with Jazz and George.
Yeah, I don't remember that at all.
No.
Yeah, sounds cool.
What this we do remember, is Tommy Dreamer, Just Incredible comes out first. Tommy Dreamer comes out. They announce him. They're in the ring, middle of the ring, staring at each other.
And there's a decent, like, sort of close, a medium close up on them. And they're sort of jawing at each other a little bit.
Yeah,
the ref comes up, and the ref sort of keeps on looking over to the side.
Well, then Tommy Dreamer starts doing side eye to that part of the seats. Apparently, in the front row, only thing I remember about being at the show, because we were directly across the arena from where the XPW guys were sitting.
Right, yeah.
So,
and I think we knew that, too.
Oh, yeah.
We knew that they were there.
Oh, yeah, we spot them during the show. Yeah,
yeah.
And so I guess what I read happened is,
you know, WWE.com or their .com they produced a video about this.
Oh, really?
It was when it was titled something like, and it was fairly recent. It was something like when the Outlaws invaded the Hardcore Icons or something like that. And it's all just sort of music stills and like infographics, text graphics.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm surprised that they addressed it because on the show, I mean, during the ECW broadcast, the only thing Joey Styles says is, "Oh, it looks like some of the fans are getting too rowdy over there with their beer." So they gave XPW zero.
Well, I don't even know if they might even know what was going on at that point. I mean, Joey might not have known who was going on.
Maybe, but I don't know.
Because what I read is that they were down there, and then during that moment, they took their shirts off. So they had XPW shirts on, and was just trying to get some publicity at ECW's expense.
Yeah.
Dreamer notices it. Notices the ruckus, goes down there. Francine goes down there and is mad.
She's pissed. I just love that. So Dreamer and Just Incredible are standing there, like supposed to be like enemies and stuff. And Dreamer basically says, "Okay, hold on. You stay here. I gotta go take care of this."
Yeah,
you know, because he knows that they can't both go down there and be in cooperation with each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so Just Incredible he just gets a chair and he sits it in the middle of the ring.
Yeah.
And gets like a water bottle. Francine, like you said, is pissed off because evidently one of them like made a grab for her or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, and that instigated a fight. In
the locker room comes running out. The ECW
in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah, right.
Between
right.
the XPW people and some ECW people.
Yeah, which by all accounts ECW won handedly. But who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only thing I remember about the show.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
Decent match, I guess. Use some weapons. I have here that Just Incredible was busted open pretty early.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They start fighting up into the stands. I never understood why people, like, they would take the fight into the stands when someone's bloody. I never got that. That doesn't seem safe.
It doesn't seem safe, but I don't really think they cared about that
stuff. Maybe not.
You know?
I don't know.
You're just, you know, you're too, in their eyes, you're too, for lack of a better word, you're too sensitive if you can't hack some guys fighting next to you with blood all over the place.
I mean, I just don't want someone else's blood splattered all over me.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that one.
They fight up into the stands. Tommy goes down and sets up a ladder on top of the merch table. And I guess he's trying to do something. Justin pushes him off the ladder, and Tommy goes to the merch table.
Yeah.
No more merch for sale.
No more merch. All done. If you haven't bought it by now, too bad.
Yeah. They go back to the ring. They fight some more. Tommy sets up a ladder to try to climb up to get the barbed wire that's hanging above the ring. Francine pulls him off.
Mm-hmm.
Jazz and George go into the ring to confront Francine, and then George swerves Jazz.
And then she hugs Francine. They embrace.
Yeah, and then Jazz takes off Francine's top.
Yeah, and she's got like two X's covering her, like a tape, electrician tape covering her nipples.
Yeah.
And then she holds her breasts and then runs away.
Well, she rolls out of the ring and then she puts on Just Incredible's t-shirt.
Oh, I thought she ran off. Okay. No. All right.
And then Just Incredible gives Jazz a tombstone.
Yeah.
Shortly after that, Tommy scales the ladder, gets the barbed wire.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, Tommy wraps the barbed wire around the ring, sends Just Incredible on top of it. The man area first.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But I don't know if Just Incredible's jorts were enough to protect.
I think, yeah, there's that like sort of gap there between like end of the crotch jort.
Yeah.
Jort crotch.
Might have enough to absorb the blow of barbed wire.
I think he was
so
just fine.
His front area didn't get barbed wired.
Yeah. Didn't end up with a smooth front area.
Yes. Just Incredible tombstones Tommy on top of the barbed wire. That was the only point in this match I was like,
oh, I know. When he did that, I was like, oh, that's just because here's the thing. It's not necessarily, oh, that's going to hurt. It's, oh, that's going to be so awkward to get out. Well,
because it wasn't like flat. It was a ball of barbed wire. So my thing was like, oh, he's going to do that. And like eyes.
Yeah.
That's the thing that bugged me. Pulling a hair was whatever. that didn't finish the job. Tommy kicked out.
Yeah.
So Justin gave him a second tombstone,
mm-hmm.
not on barbed wire,
mm-hmm.
and retained the ECW title.
Good job, Just Incredible.
Good job, Just Incredible.
And then a year later, ECW folded.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So what are our choices for next week, Steve?
Glad you asked, Larson. Next week, we've got the beginnings of each of the past three eras, not counting the modern era.
Reality era.
reality era. First up, we have the first Raw of the Attitude Era. That was December 15th, 1997. That's one that includes that little speech that Vince McMahon gave. No longer are we doing cartoon characters and over-the-top things. We're more contemporary now. Like, he just had to spill it out. Instead of just showing it.
Instead of just doing it.
He just had to talk about it. Next up, we have the first episode of the Ruthless Aggression Era. Raw. June 24th, 2002, Vince McMahon officially called it at that point. We're in the Ruthless Aggression Era. Some people sort of, you know, it might have actually began before then. Like, I don't know when Cena came out and said Ruthless Aggression. But in any event, when Vince says we're in the Ruthless Aggression Era.
We're in the Ruthless Aggression Era.
We'll call that the first one. And then the first episode of the PG Era, which people say it's July 25th, 2008. SmackDown, July 25th.
That was the first episode of WWE television.
That was literally PG?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before it was
PGDVL, which I think stands for violence. Probably one of those is sex. The other one is, I don't know, language, I know.
Yeah.
L is language.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go. Those are your three options. Three eras to choose from. Probably everybody can choose Attitude Era because people love the Attitude
Era. Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll find out.
And the winner is...
the first episode of the Ruthless Aggression Era.
Again, Vince had to spell it out for us.
Again, Vince had to say, this is what we're doing now. That's it for now. Let us know what you guys think in the comments. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.